Hi, Paul Lauerter with Medscape Infectious Diseases, and speaking from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. It seems when I'm on hospital rounds, more and more frequently, we're encountering gram-negative organisms that have highly resistant profiles, and we're trying to sort out whether we have any parenteral or oral drugs available to treat these ill patients with infections. For example, KPC organisms or highly resistant Pseudomonas aeruginosa are really something that's taking up more and more of our time in thinking about drug programs. I thought I would speak briefly about polymyxin B, which is the far less famous polymyxin compared to polymyxin E, known as colistin. Polymyxin B was one of a class of drugs, polymyxins A through E, first discovered in the late 1940s, but really only B and E have ever proven to be clinically useful, but of course fell into disfavor because of their reported problems with nephrotoxicity many years ago. However, with the emergence of resistant organisms, colistin has had a fair amount of attention paid to it, but polymyxin B may also have its place, even though it's not commonly used, or do most susceptibility panels include it in its analysis. For example, you'd have to look hard and find a study from the Century database, now published over 6 years ago, that found, at least for Pseudomonas aeruginosa, 98.9% of isolates of over 3,000 isolates in North America were susceptible, and for Acinetobacter, the level was also over 98% for a smaller number of isolates. There's a growing sense that there may be a little bit of difference between colistin and polymyxin B, with perhaps polymyxin B having some superiority, at least in vitro, for some organisms such as Stenotrophomonas. Now, you have to remember that gram-negatives such as serratia or indole-positive organisms generally are intrinsically resistant to polymyxin B, and the toxicity profiles continue to include potential nephrotoxicity, neurotoxicity, or neuromuscular blockade. Most of the time now, to determine whether there is in vitro susceptibility, one would have to do a microdilution technique, as any kind of disc diffusion through agar generally is perhaps hard to interpret for this cationic compound. However, a recent study out of the NYU group examined 40 patients by conventional dosing, which typically has been 15 to 25,000 international units in two divided doses a day, versus a different single loading dose of 25,000 units and then adjusted by renal dosing protocol. They found in most respiratory infections, which they said comprised the majority of their 40 and 40 patients in the two arms, had better microbiologic eradication, although there was really no other big differences in overall outcomes. But it seems much like with colistin that perhaps a loading dose has superior aspects for eradication and perhaps for clinical outcome in larger studies. So this is something that you may wish to entertain. Lastly, there are a number of investigators and perhaps companies looking at some derivatives of polymyxins that might have less toxicities and yet still maintain some of their extraordinary effects on these highly resistant organisms. Clearly, we're dusting off the shelf to look at some of our older drugs and even some that I think commonly we might think are very similar, like polymyxin B, but only time will tell with additional studies if really polymyxin B holds any kind of key difference compared to colistin, which I think we're more comfortable and typical in using. Thanks very much for listening, and have a cool summer. Thanks.